Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You can meet them in school, or in lanes, or at sea, or in church, or in trains, or at shops, or at tea. For the saints of God are just folk like me, and I. In the Episcopal Church, we sing this hymn every year on this November Sunday. It's as strong a tradition as Silent Night on Christmas Eve or Jesus Christ is Risen Today on Easter Sunday. I love to sing it. Maybe you do too. For one thing, it's almost comically British. Lately, Maggie Smith as the Dowager Countess of Grantham seems to pop into my mind's eye for an instant as I sing these words, as I find myself singing about trains and shops and tea. One of many faces this hymn conjures. But more seriously and more to the point, it's in sync with the Anglican understanding that sainthood is not bestowed by any earthly authority, but includes those whose lives have made God's kingdom believable in every age. Some of these names are, of course, known to us: St. Paul, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Francis. And some of them are known to God alone. Full many a flower is born to blush unseen, wrote Thomas Gray in his elegy written in a country churchyard. The big idea is that there are hundreds of thousands still. The big idea is that they are with us now, all the living and the dead. You know, every single one of our major feasts in the church asks us to give our hearts to something both in this world and out of this world. On Christmas Eve, we celebrate God's word of love made flesh. On Easter Sunday, we celebrate the death of death. Every year, as November begins, as here in New England, the leaves die and the light fades and the days grow cold, we celebrate the twin feasts of All Saints and All Souls. All saints, all the faithful departed, nothing and no one ever lost in the changeless light of God. As fond as I am, though, of imagining those good saints sipping their tea, I wonder sometimes if we're not selling sainthood on the cheap. If we can all plan on sainthood, after all, what's so great about being one? Author Gretchen Wolfe Pritchard, in her classic book, Offering the Gospel to Children, wonders if we're not in danger of reducing the word saint to a mere synonym for nice person, and reducing this profound feast day to a kind of happy, clappy celebration of everyone's unique gifts. We're all saints, writes Pritchard, not because we are nice, but because, quote, in our baptism, we have put on Christ and asked him to conform us to his life of love, struggle, sacrifice, and vindication, which is the pattern of our lives and the life of the people of God. We have put on Christ in baptism. Put on Christ. The great poet Gerard Manley Hopkins puts it this way: for Christ plays in 10,000 places, lovely in limbs and lovely in eyes, not his. They're yours. And maybe this is our cause for celebration. Maybe this is why this day is one of the best possible days on which to baptize or to renew our own baptismal vows. In these actions, we choose Christ. And as Wolfe Pritchard said, we ask him to conform us to his life of love, struggle, sacrifice, and vindication. God in Christ conforms or shapes us. In other words, we are not left to our own devices. We are not in this alone. It's not as if Marlo and Ilaria and Giorgio and Chloe, baptized here this morning, have been enrolled in a sort of lifelong course of continuous and solitary self-improvement. What has just happened is that they've been welcomed into something we know as the household of God, into the gathered body of Christ. A place where we pray they will be known and loved, where they will know and love others, and where they will be made more and more into their truest selves. Made in the image of God, made for community, made to repeat the sounding joy of being alive in the world, made to love, and eventually to find their deepest joy in giving love. Made to make their world, or their part of the world, new. A world made new. That's what we're here to celebrate. All saints, all souls. Now, here is the genuinely challenging part. The covenant we have just renewed together is just as expansive, all in all, asking us, as it does, to serve Christ in all persons, to respect the dignity of every human person, not simply those we happen to like or admire or will vote for, not simply those in our own communities and tribes. Love your enemies too, says Jesus to us this morning in his Sermon on the Plain. Do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and perhaps hardest of all, pray for those who abuse you. To love, to do good, to bless, to pray for those who wish us harm, who do us harm, is a tall and perhaps impossible order. But we're not left to our own devices. In these last moments this morning, I'd like to look with you at one item from the news of this past week and see what we might make of these behaviors Jesus models and tries to coax forth from us. We're all saints, says Gretchen Wolfe Pritchard, not because we are nice. We are saints because we have put on Christ. Those two things are sometimes not the same thing at all. The love undergirding the strides for justice and peace, the love undergirding respect for the dignity of all persons, may not always seem nice. Reflecting this week on the death of ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, reflecting on graphic accounts of that death that have circulated broadly, Florida rabbi Jeffrey K. Salkin, in an opinion column for the Religious News Service, retells an ancient rabbinic legend. According to this tradition, when the Israelites saw their oppressors lying dead upon the seashore, the angels burst into song. God, in this legend, rebukes and silences the angels with these words. The work of my hands is drowning in the sea, and you are filled with song? What is at stake here, of course, in that death last week, and in a very hard way, are these values we have just proclaimed this morning. The call to serve Christ in all persons. The dignity of every human being. No one should die like a dog, insists Rabbi Salkin. And he submits, quote, I am glad that al-Baghdadi is no longer among the living. But he goes on. How we deal with his death, he concludes, and the postures that we bring to that death, that is on us. Those decisions shape the fate of our civilization and make it worthy of defense against the likes of ISIS. The dignity of every human being. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Because after all, you can meet them in church, or in shops, or at tea, or for that matter, on the evening news or in the pages of the New York Times. And, saints, how you meet them, how you pray for them, the postures that you bring into this world, and how you bless them, may not necessarily have the shape of nice, but it can begin to make our exhausted and weary world new. Not because we are nice, but because in our baptism we have put on Christ and asked him to conform us to his life of love, struggle, sacrifice, and vindication, which is the pattern of our lives and the life of the people of God. And I want to be one too.